If you're a guest with us today, we welcome you. We are glad that you're here worshiping with us. Today, indeed, we are here because God's grace has brought us here. We are being transformed, as our hymn talked about, by the very grace of God. So we are glad that you are here worshiping with us, if you are a guest, as we all come together to celebrate what God is doing among us and with us for God's glory. Our scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, beginning in the 15th chapter. And we'll be reading verses 21 through 28. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to read along, and you can also read along in our pew Bible. Matthew 15, 21 through 28. Hear the word of the Lord. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting at us." He answered, "I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and she knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and to throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the word of God for we, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we have indeed entered into this place to worship you, to sing of our love for you, and to praise your name. For indeed your love is great, and your mercy extends to all generations. And for this we give you thanks and we give you praise. We ask, Lord, that as we have sung, that we would indeed be transformed. That by your word we would be recreated and renewed in your image. O God, be with us as we hear your word. And allow my words to be your words. In Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Dogtown. Have any of you ever been to Dogtown? You all know Dogtown, right? The city just across the river that in 1904 secured land that was rightfully Little Rock's and claimed it as their own. Dogtown. Have you ever been to North Little Rock? Dogtown? Some of you may live in Dogtown. You know, in retaliation of that wrongful acquisition of land, Little Rock decided that they would gather all the stray dogs from around, at least the story goes. And they took all those stray dogs and they sent them over the river into North Little Rock. Hence, Dogtown. The derogatory name stuck for many years. North Little Rock even attempted at one point to try to rid itself of the name. Early in the 1960s, I found a news article about when North Little Rock had a ceremony and bought a tombstone. And there in North Little Rock downtown, they erected this tombstone and it said, "Here lies Dogtown," hoping that this would end the reputation. However, in the 1970s, that tombstone disappeared, giving rise to the myth that Dogtown had risen from the grave. Well, it seems that the rivalry between the two cities has died down over time, and little did I know when I moved to Arkansas that Little Rock was not across the river. Every now and then, you'll hear in the news about Dogtown. Have you ever been to Dogtown? To have been called a dog throughout history has certainly been a great insult. Even though, oddly enough, slang has turned it into a term of endearment, what up, dog? For many years, to be called a dog was to be called a mutt, to be called riffraff, to be called scum, to be called good for nothing. We could probably fill in the blank with a couple of other derogatory terms that came from the term dog. And while we love those little furry animals, dogs have been considered scavengers and unclean. And to be called a dog was to be insulted. It's certainly confusing. And even as I read this scripture passage this week, it's certainly upsetting. As to Jesus referring to the woman in our scripture text as a dog. We certainly don't expect Jesus to react so coldly and so rudely toward another human being, especially this mother. Yet, when constantly approached by this crying mother, Jesus reacts in ways that we would not imagine Jesus, the Son of God, to react. Jesus reacts instead like we would expect most normal human beings to react when approached by an annoying individual, a person not from our side of the tracks. And culturally speaking, Jesus reacts to this Canaanite woman as any other Jewish man had the right to react to an outsider crying for help. For if you remember, Canaanites were the people who were occupying the promised land when Joshua and the Israelites entered into the land. They were considered the mortal enemies of Israel. And apparently, this woman was recognized. There was something about her appearance, something about her location and being in Tyre and Sidon that tipped the disciples off and tipped Jesus off that this lady was from the same heritage as these hated enemies of Israel. This woman was from Dogtown. And any Jew that would have encountered this woman would have probably reacted the same way that Jesus and the disciples reacted. After all, this unclean outsider spelled trouble for Jesus and the disciples. Jesus had already experienced his fair share of trouble. Just prior to heading to Tyre and Sidon, where they are in our scripture lesson for today, Jesus had joined in a debate with the Pharisees over what does it mean to be ritually pure. His disciples had failed to wash their hands, if you recall, and the Pharisees and the scribes saw them not wash their hands and talked to Jesus about why his disciples weren't following the rules. Maybe this woman's appearance could bring further heat down on the disciples and on Jesus. So it's probably best that we just send her away. But this isn't the first time that Jesus has encountered an outsider. If we look back in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus heals a Roman centurion's servant. Remember the story? A Roman soldier, a grave enemy, a foreign occupier to the Holy Land. So it seems odd that Jesus would react so coldly toward this Canaanite outsider woman. Now, many people have speculated as to the reason why Matthew includes this story in the gospel and why Jesus reacts so coldly toward this woman. Some have pointed toward the cultural standards of Jesus' day. He was just acting accordingly. Others have argued that Jesus was simply testing the faith of this woman. Still others have argued that Jesus was teaching his disciples a lesson. Still others have talked about this story as a metaphor for the church and how we as the body of Christ react in the same way so coldly to outsiders who come in. Even others have speculated that Jesus was human and that this story shows that Jesus was truly human. Maybe he had just had a bad day and reacted poorly. All such readings seem plausible. They all seem possible. And even each interpretation can provide for us an opportunity to grow in our faith. And yet, I wonder if the reason that Matthew included the story in the gospel was not necessarily to focus on Jesus. It seems very odd to say that the gospel story would not focus on Jesus. But I wonder if Matthew includes the story, this out of the ordinary story in the gospel, not to highlight Jesus, but to highlight this woman. You see, each time this woman is turned away, she doesn't give up. Instead, she continues to seek out Jesus. It is a matter of life and death for this woman, and she is not going to be satisfied with a no. She is undeterred by Jesus' initial silence and unresponsiveness. She is undeterred by the disciples who want to send her away because she is too annoying to them. She spells too much trouble. She is undeterred by Jesus saying that he was only sent to the house of Israel first and foremost. And she is undeterred when Jesus compares her to a dog. She is not satisfied with delay or with no, but rather this female presses on. She pushes forward. She is not complacent. Even if but a crumb, she says, falls from the master's table, I would be satisfied. Even but if a small morsel of bread, a small minute experience of your grace would come to me, I would be satisfied. For she knows deep within her soul that God's grace is worth pursuing. It is worth experiencing. It is worth fighting for. It is worth being put on the line and being embarrassed in public. It is worth striving toward. You see, this woman shows great faith, Jesus tells her. God's grace is worth every moment we have an opportunity to experience it. You know, I'm guilty. My wife will tell you I'm guilty of a lot of things. But often I'm guilty of becoming complacent. Complacent in the Christian life. For too often we fail to remember that God has given us more than just crumbs. God has given us his very life that we might be in relationship with God. And even just a moment, even just a tiny experience of that grace is worth sacrificing all that we have and all that we are to be in relationship to God. You see, God has given us more than enough to love Him and to be His children. And yet so often we become complacent and comfortable in our journey with God. We become complacent with our occasional participation and our occasional reading of Scripture and our occasional seeking out Christian community. And yet, if but a crumb would fall from the table, we could be satisfied. You know, I think that this story is included in the gospel because we need to remember that sometimes God's grace is worth pursuing and fighting for. If but just for a moment we are in the presence of God, it would last a lifetime. I love to play golf. And you know, golf is a terrible sport. Because you spend 18 holes wondering, why in the world am I doing this? And then, but for an instant, you hit a shot. And it sails toward the pin. And it may go over 30 feet of the hole. But it looks amazing. And it looks beautiful. And that brings you back the next time. If just for a moment we might enter into the presence of God, we might catch a crumb that falls from the table of our Savior, it would be worth it. It would be worth it. Somewhere, somehow, this woman heard of God's grace and God's mercy. Even though she was a foreigner and an outsider, even though she wasn't supposed to be around in public shouting at men, she heard maybe someone whisper in her ear, "He fed 5,000. He healed a Roman soldier's servant. He speaks of a new kingdom." And that was enough. It was enough to push her out of her comfort zone, to journey beyond what she was most comfortable with, to seek out her Savior that she might experience the very grace of God for herself. God's grace is worth fighting for, even if you live in Dogtown. This past winter, I received a letter from one of our members who had taken one of our family-to-family boxes to take it and to fill it with items and to bring it back to the church. And yet, when they began filling the box, they remembered that they knew a family personally that was in need. And they decided, under the guise of Asbury United Methodist Church, that they would go and they would deliver this box to this family. So they collected all the items, they put them in the box, and they went over to the house and they gave it to the family. Just a few simple foodstuffs to have a Thanksgiving meal. And yet this family was so excited to receive this meal that they knew of another family that was in greater need. And so they decided that they would come together for a Thanksgiving meal, that they would share those crumbs that fell from the table. The individual who sent the letter wrote, "I learned that one of the families felt so grateful that they shared the meal with others in a home nearby. But it was an orchestrated event, because the family used their oven for heat for their house. And they had to coordinate when the turkey would be cooked in order to take advantage of the electricity being consumed. Even if but a crumb fell from the table, they were willing and able to fight for it." Anyone in their right mind would have fed themselves. They would have taken care of their family first. Yet this family knew what it was like to experience the grace of God, even if but for a moment. The crumbs are enough. So may we not become complacent, but may we strive. May we move forward. May we push on. That when God enters our lives, we will be transformed, even if but a crumb falls from the table. In the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.